Deep trouble in the housing market took a huge chunk of the blame for the Great Recession in the U.S. a decade ago. The Census Bureau's most recent annual report, Characteristics of New Housing, shows indicators that seem much healthier, including updated amenities and record square footage per person. But how widespread are those benefits? Are first-time homebuyers feeling a squeeze? With me to talk about that via Skype is Mark Perry, professor of economics at the University of Michigan's Flint campus. Mark, you looked at around four decades worth of data. Among what you saw was the size of new homes over that time has increased by 1,000 square feet or so. Can you put that into perspective for us?
And so back in 1973, the average new home built in the United States was about 1,600 square feet. And then every year, year by year, you know, it's kind of one of those gradual improvements where you don't even really notice it because it's so gradual but consistent. Every year, new homes got bigger by about 22 square feet per year, which was hardly noticeable. But now when we take a 40-year perspective, the new homes that were built in 2017 were about 2,600 square feet. So there's been about an increase of 1,000 square feet on the average new home built in the United States, which is, you know, pretty amazing when you can when you also consider that over that same period, from the early 70s through 2017, the most recent data we have for the housing construction, that the average household size has been continually declining as people have fewer children and there's more people in retirement. And so the average household in 1973 had about three persons, and that's been going down. And so in recent years, it's more like 2.5 persons per household on average in the United States.
Is there a disconnect between people who have been in the workforce for a little bit longer, maybe people who are even buying a second home, as opposed to younger people trying to buy their first?
Yeah, and what they do is, you know, I'm kind of mostly focusing on the average data for the entire country, but the Census Bureau actually does a very nice job of breaking it down by region of the country. And so, of course, it's going to be different housing patterns. New housing would be different in Phoenix and in San Francisco compared to Kansas and Nebraska and Montana. And so they do break it down by different areas of the country. And so I haven't really looked at the data to be able to speak authoritatively on the differences by district or area of the country. But, you know, what we can tell from the national data is at least in the last couple of years, the average square foot per home size has gone down a little bit. So maybe that's just reflecting that we've kind of reached a peak of more than 2,600 square feet. And now people are looking for maybe smaller homes. And so maybe that's a trend. I know that in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area where I'm at right now, that they've changed the zoning because one of the concerns in lots of parts of the country is affordable housing, and especially for low-income people. And so Minneapolis, I think, is one of the first cities in the United States to change its zoning to allow denser zoning in areas that used to be zoned single-family homes only. And they're allowing now duplexes and triplexes and fourplexes and small apartment buildings to be built throughout the city as a way to address the higher cost of housing. And so maybe that's one trend that we might see, is that a movement away from single family homes with large lots towards denser housing, especially in the bigger cities. Maybe that could be the case in Phoenix.
Let me ask you about the phrase, the American dream. So much about the American dream was tied to being able to afford a home. Can you talk to me about what you've seen, if you look at the last four decades, and how that fits into the American dream and whether housing is still at the core of that?
Yeah, sure. And actually, the National Association of Realtors puts out this kind of very interesting statistic on a monthly basis, and it's called the Housing Affordability Index. And what they look at is the average or median income in the country, and they look at the median home price, and then they look at the mortgage interest rate to finance a 30-year mortgage, and then they assume some 10 or 20% down payment. And then they're able to calculate on a month-by-month basis the housing affordability in the United States for the average household to be able to buy an average priced house at the kind of current market rate for a 30-year mortgage. And what they've shown is that actually housing affordability on a national basis is actually really pretty high right now compared to previous times, like let's say going back to the 1980s. And so I think it's right now at around 140, which means that the median household income or the median family has 140% of the qualifying income that they would need to buy the median price house and finance it for 30 years. So actually, housing on a national basis is still really pretty affordable when we take into account mortgage rates, home prices, and median income of families that are looking to buy a house.
How do you think what happened a decade ago? There were many people who went into homes that they couldn't afford. We had that horrible foreclosure mess. We also had changes based on what the average person was putting down on a home. Just your general thoughts about that.
Yeah, and I think what they did is, you know, there was kind of this obsession, political obsession in both parties of home ownership. And so both parties had a lot of housing policies that really, in a way, looking back, they turned really good renters into really bad homeowners because they got people into houses with poor credit and low down payments. And so I think historically, the home ownership rate in the United States was at about 62%, and that was pretty stable going back before the 2000s. And then what they were able to do with cheap financing and, you know, putting people into homes with kind of low credit and low down payments, they were able to kind of artificially boost the home ownership rate in the United States up to 69%. And so now what we've seen, we're back to about the historical average of around 62 or 63%. Of U.S. households who are owning a home, and then the other, you know, about one third then or more would be renting. And so it seems like now we're back to a sustainable pattern where housing finance standards have tightened up again, down payments are higher, credit checks are more rigorous. And so now I think we're more on a sustainable path going forward where we could expect about 62% of U.S. households to be owning a home, and then the other 38% would be tenants or renters.
Mark Perry is an economics professor at the University of Michigan's Flint campus.